Welcome back to Creative Disturbances. My name is Poe Johnson. I am a PhD student here at the University of Texas at Dallas. And today I'm talking to...
I'm Edlika Thompson. I'm also a PhD student and in the University of Texas at Dallas.
So if you don't mind, Edlika, could you tell us a little bit about your work?
Well, lately I've been very interested in the presentation and representation of what I would consider African art objects in American art museums, and the relevance of those objects to the audience in American museums, but specifically to black people in the United States and in America, and particularly in Dallas, where there seems to be obviously an historical divide between colonial entities, mainly in the United States, and certainly with Europe. But the importance of these objects, is it important for black people to understand the connection culturally? Is it important to understand the use and function of objects, which I consider tribal objects, but specifically African objects collected in art museums today?
So I guess the way to sort of go about this question is in two different fronts. You're asking, on one hand, is it relevant for black Americans to understand the sort of cultural history of Africa, correct?
Yes, yes.
The other sort of question would be, for me at least, is why would the question be relevant? So are black people in this country really connected to Africa as such, or are we, and I mean we as in black people, similar to our sort of American ancestry in which we are looking at these objects purely as a sort of fetishistic idea, as a sort of this gateway to the past via this exoticized other?
Well, here again comes the question is how, with the institution, the institutional presentation of these objects and their representation, and that's the problem. Are we re-fetishizing objects? Are the institutions functioning in no different regard than ethnocentric or ethnographic institutions in their presentation of these objects? And that's an issue for me. Is it important? Is this history? Is this you know, the use and the importance of these objects, the presentation of these objects, is it important? Why is it important? So
I perhaps, can I answer from at least from my perspective?
Sure.
My response would be no. And my response would be, I guess I sort of alluded to it before, is that black people in America, and I use those terms very carefully, are not African. Mm-hmm. Not African in our sort of ethnic orientation, at least not at this point, since many of us, in fact, all of us, are mixed with something or other along the way. But more to that, there is no sort of cultural link. We can speak of Africa only broadly speaking as a continent, as if this is not a conglomeration of multiple countries, as if Africa is actually the name of the continent, which it is not. So we can think in these terms, but our understanding of it is only through sort of, for the lack of a better term, the white dominant culture. So we are, as we've talked about before we started this podcast, black people in this country are as removed from Africa as they are from America. So I would suggest no, that there is no connection there. There is no relevance to that because we are not that people. We are different. What would you say to that?
Well, I guess I was thinking of for whom are these objects presented for? I mean, for what group? What's their importance then? Do you think?
I think, and again, I've alluded to it, I think, already, but I'll sort of restate that these objects are sort of important to cultures that wish to exoticize the other. They exist as a way to say, ooh, look how weird things were back then. Look how strange and mysterious that was. This is why they used to call Africa the Dark Continent, right?
Yes.
It was always about the sort of mysterious, jungled other out there, and we are interested in that because there's the sort of noble savage idea that there is some sort of connection to our primal, primordial selves. And all of these things are sort of these racist, hegemonic interpretations of Africa. And I think in some ways there is no way for black people in this country to reclaim a kind of originary standpoint, a connection to that identity that is not somehow mediated through that hegemony. Mm-hmm. And as such, it's probably better to simply sort of leave it alone entirely than to simply reinscribe all of these culturally dominant ideas that come from America, in which we think of Africa as some sort of racialized other distinct from ourselves.
Okay, so one of the other considerations, you know, in looking at what I would call tribal objects or objects, African art objects, is certainly the original context within which they were presented in European museums and American museums from an ethnographic perspective, for as objects of study, objects of scientific research, and even in a physical sense of Sarki Bartman, mm-hmm. who was put on display and, you know, performed and so forth, and treated as an actual specimen in France. And so in moving out of that context of research or scientific realms, certainly with the object, into the realm of the art museum. But I guess, you know, a larger question for me is, have we moved on? Has that, have we really truly had that transformation? Have black people as a people, and even in black people in America, have we moved beyond objects of desire or objects to be fetishized or just objects per se?
Well, my response to that would be no. I think the thing that happens, and it's good that you mentioned, I may pronounce this, Sarki, mm-hmm. And the Hottentot Venus, mm-hmm. is that that hasn't changed to this day. So my research focuses in on how sort of black images through like the late or middle part of the 19th century to the present have sort of constructed black identity, both physically and culturally. And we've never moved beyond the concept of looking at the black body as a specimen. Mm-hmm. We simply, like, we reframed it. We took it and we put it in another perspective. So we might think of, like, the physical black body as they used to think of, like, sort of looking at phrenology or looking at sort of skull shape or lumps in the head. And we'd say, oh, well, this must mean this person is inferior. This must mean that this person, or not even a person, this animal is less human. And then we move on to, like, the current context, which is examining sort of the black female body and sort of, like, fetishizing it in different ways, or looking how we treat athletes as sort of, like, these specimens, these sort of raw, unfiltered examples of masculine power, quote-unquote. But this power is always mediated by an understanding that they're not fully human, right? They are less than, they are stupid, they are ignorant, they are violent by nature. And then we sort of code that into how we think of violence and how we think of black criminality in this country as an expression, again, of this sort of superhuman capacity for violence. So we think of what's happening currently in the news. We think of what's happening in Ferguson, Missouri, or what happened in Trayvon Martin in Florida. It's always being coded as this understanding of sort of black superhuman ability, so the specimen mentality, so that this child could beat up this grown man and this grown man could be threatened for his life. And how do you understand that unless you think of it as, well, this child was capable of violence beyond the ordinary? Or if you think of what happens in Ferguson, when you think of someone being shot at a bunch of times and still being this threat, is if you think of this person as being superhumanly capable of violence and not feeling pain. So there's a recent study done, and I don't remember who it was, that said that most white people in this country think of black people as being somehow superhuman, which is to say beyond pain, which is to say that they are capable of things that are not ordinary they themselves cannot do. So this creates a lack of empathy. So if we want to sort of structure how we understand race throughout the 19th and 20th centuries in particular, probably even before that, it's always this articulation of lack of empathy, because there's this assumption that this is what black people are for. This creation of the specimen then says that black people are for a certain kind of thing and not other kinds of things. They're not fully human. It's always mediated by function more than simple ontology. So I guess my question would be to you is, like, how do you see the sort of instance of the tribal and this instance of the specimen, or this construction of the specimen as related? I see it as really the same thing. Maybe you think of it as different.
I think it's obviously contingent upon the, and I'm thinking of media, the media machine.
Yes.
In terms of presenting the images, the ideas in bits and pieces, and then the public is left to sort of put these pieces together. But it's very constructed. It's very coordinated and articulated efforts in representation. You know, I would have to agree with you on certain levels that, you know, we black people have been reduced, just the rudimentary elements that relate to science and that sort of thing. But, and I guess your work, too, deals with the media, how the media plays, the media role.
Yes.
Plays in this presentation and construction of blackness. I'd kind of like to know personally more about your thoughts on that.
For me, the media is a kind of analogous to culture itself, right? So we can't sort of separate the media and culture. And media representations of blackness have essentially created blackness. There's sort of how we think of blackness today, currently, if we can think of it as a unified concept, which many people do, rightly or wrongly, it has been constructed by the media. So there's never been a point in time in this country where the media has not served to construct the black identity a priori of itself. So we can go back to minstrel days when people would dress in blackface and paint their face, white people would paint their faces black as a way and sort of perform, over-exaggerate black identity, and that was a construction of blackness. And then we can think of post-slavery into Reconstruction when newspapers and postcards
yes.
would show lynchings as a way to sort of, again, construct black identity, as if to say the only sort of good black person is a dead black person, right? And then we can think of film, and sort of film in itself was constructed, at least how we think of modern film now, so the movie blockbuster, so to speak, was created by this sort of quasi-scientific idea of black identity, and I'm speaking specifically of D.W. Griffith's Birth of a Nation, and how he used this sort of notion of blackness as a kind of connected to inferiority, and that connection to inferiority means that black people are naturally violent, that naturally angry, naturally aggressive, naturally sort of sexually promiscuous and pervasive, right? So this notion that black people biologically are this way, and thus slavery was a good thing because without slavery, black people are out of control, continues to this day. So, and this is what we say, and again, see in Ferguson, or I say yesterday, as of this recording, Rudy Giuliani just made a statement about how white police are in black neighborhoods because black people can't control themselves. And that idea has always been sort of rooted in this sort of, again, quasi, and I mean quasi is to say it's not scientific at all, understanding of blackness, which says that black people are naturally different. And this natural difference means aggression and violence and over-sexuality and pervasiveness and just social pervasiveness.
Well, what about black media? Do you think that black media and are buying into this as well?
I think there's black no way for black media not to buy into it to some degree, because we're all sort of, we are receivers of the same images, and the dominant culture is telling you something, even if it's about yourself, you're going to be somewhat inclined to agree with that unless told otherwise. So black media, from Tyler Perry down to Oscar Michau, who was one of the first primary black filmmakers in the early part of the 20th century, have constructed this idea of what it means to be a quote-unquote right black person, right? And this is always going back to this notion of respectability politics, which is to say that to be a good black person means really to be closer to white. And this sort of moves away from the scientific dimension of things, the scientific construction of blackness, and into a cultural construction of blackness, which then roots the sort of failure of blackness or black people as a cultural phenomena that's inside of black people or inside of black culture, and not as a factor in slavery and post-Reconstruction and Jim Crow and mass incarceration, et cetera.
Okay. I think one of the things that was most profound for me was looking at the film Venus Noir, or The Black Venus, that was produced in 2010. The film starts out in the Academy of Natural Sciences, where Cuvier is presenting the plaster cast of Saki Bartman to his colleagues. And he then launches into a discussion of her cranial differences, her physical differences, and passes around a bottle jar that contains her dissected sexual organs for the his colleagues to then pass around and examine. And that was pretty shocking to me, to see a human being reduced to her parts in a jar, being, you know, distributed and examined in that sense. And so I was, you know, certainly reminded of how during that time science and, you know, in the Enlightenment period was used to substantiate difference, and that the reliance of that as fact, that a people, that these experiments and conclusions were used to envelope an entire ethnicity of people to construct, used as difference to construct the not only psychological, emotional, cultural aspects of difference in a culture as inferior, and hence to construct an idea of superiority from European cultural perspective. And, you know, I'm not so sure that science is not completely out of the realm today. Certainly, absolutely, when we look at constructions of black people, not only in this country, but certainly around the world. And that, I think that is the tie. I think that is the connection, if we have to make one, is constantly being under a, with, you know, no pun intended, a microscope or a petri dish. And it relates to the physicality, a physiological difference that black people have, or supposedly, you know, in the science, the realm of science, which is very dangerous. I mean, these studies wound up in the Dictionary of Natural Sciences. These words, these texts, were used in classrooms. They were used in lecture halls to substantiate superiority and deviances, sexual lasciviousness, mm-hmm. and so forth, madness, disease, based on physical differences.
Yes, absolutely. And to tie it back in, do you think that the film, which is produced in 2010, correct?
Yes.
Do you think when the film shows this sort of reduction of this woman to parts into difference, supposed difference, do you think that it can accurately critique a time period when it's also being so blatant and in its representation of her? Even as a critique, can it really sort of properly critique what happened in the 17th and 18th century,
no.
Even if they're doing that?
Because there's several things that are wrong with the film. Of course, it's a dramatization.
Mm-hmm.
The characters are similar, but, you know, ethnically incorrect.
So I think
one of the issues, and I had this interesting argument with a friend of mine about indentured servitude, and that idea, and even though it was presented in the film that Sarki, of course, was acting, put on a performance, she was still able to go out, although attended. But even the film presents the court case where her freedom or lack thereof, or whether she was still a slave or whether she was still an indentured servant, was in question. And I had an interesting discussion with a friend about that. Well, if she was doing this on her own, then maybe she wasn't really a slave. And I thought, well, what were her options?
Exactly.
I think we talked about that today. What are our options as a black people?
All right. So I think that's actually going to be it for today. I want to thank Alika for joining us today on Creative Disturbances.
Thank
Once
you.
Again, my name is Poe Johnson, and have a good day.
Thank you.